Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court delivers a huge win for J6 charges. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, Matt, we certainly celebrated on the day, June 28th, when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in the Fisher versus United States case that the U.S. government interpreted an evidence destruction law too broadly in charging those January 6th defendants with a felony obstruction law for entering the Capitol on January 6th.
Yeah, the High Court's decision will now send the case back to the D.C. Court of Appeals to assess whether indictments can still stand under the narrower interpretation of the law. Liberty Counsel, we filed a brief in this case because of the significant First Amendment implications that it raised. This is a huge win. The High Court, you know, adopts our interpretation of Section 1512C, that it is only an evidence destruction provision and nothing more. The High Court likewise adopted Liberty Counsel's arguments that interpreting Section 1512 to criminalize more than mere evidence destruction would criminalize protesting and lobbying.
You know, it's horrendous what they've done to some of these people. Remember, we interviewed a 70-year-old woman. She's the praying grandma. Yeah. She simply went to the Capitol to pray. And now she's facing felony charges, imprisonment, fines, all because she went there to pray. So this is really a big win in favor of people like her.
Yeah, so the High Court has now ruled that to prove a violation of the Sarbanes-Oxley law, that the government must show that the defendant impaired the inviolability or integrity of records, documents, objects, or other things used in an official proceeding or attempted to do so. Now, they will not be able to do so in this case here because they did not attempt to destroy or impair the availability or integrity of any records, documents, or objects or other things of
proceeding. Nor was there any official proceeding happening.
No, there wasn't. In fact, at this particular time, the proceeding had ended, and these individuals were charged. Chief Justice John Roberts authored the majority opinion, and he said, quote, "Nothing in the text or statutory history suggests that Section C2 is designed to impose up to 20 years imprisonment or essentially on essentially all defendants who commit obstruction of justice in any way and who might be subject to lesser penalties under more specific obstruction statutes." That's what he wrote in the opinion. He goes on to say, "If Congress had wanted to authorize such penalties for any conduct that delays or influences a proceeding in any way, it would have done so. Instead, Section 1512 mentions record, document, or other object 26 times.
You know, Matt, this is just another example of the Biden administration trying to juxtaposition their agenda into a law that does not make sense with what they're doing.
Yeah, he goes on to say, given that subsection C2 was enacted to address the Enron disaster, not some further flung set of dangers, it is unlikely that Congress responded with such an unfocused and grossly incommensurate patch that they would have done so with this particular thing that would apply. So he goes on to say, "We therefore decline to adopt the government's interpretation, which is inconsistent with the context from which the statute arose." So the statute arose because of Enron. The Enron corruption is where the federal government was looking at some of the Enron documents with regards to their representation of the worth of the company, their cash reserves, and so forth, because it is a publicly traded company. And so the SEC and other agencies have a specific interest in this public reporting. And during that investigation, in order to conceal some of the corruption that was going on, the Enron employees who became defendants in this case, different case, the original Enron case, they began to destroy documents. They began to alter documents. And that was done for the very purpose of interfering with or obstructing an official proceeding, a proceeding that was actually ongoing to investigate the financial ability, the financial status of Enron. And so they were destroying, altering, modifying these financial corporate record documents.
And of course, we filed an amicus brief in this case and argued that Section 1512C was being used in an unprecedented manner to criminalize large swaths of constitutionally protected expression, which ran roughshod over the First Amendment. Our brief stated the reason for the unprecedented application of Section 1512C was due to prosecutors running amok because they detested the speech, assembly, and expression of the people who aimed to influence their elected representatives on January 6th. So it definitely is a First Amendment issue.
Yeah, and there's other situations where you had occupiers taking over police departments. I remember that out in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't use any of this law against them. They only did it against January 6ers.
Burning down buildings,
yeah,
Black Lives Matter,
Antifa,
all that. Yeah.
Black Lives Matter, the so-called pro-Palestinian.
They didn't apply this to
pro-Hamas protest.
Yeah.
So the court actually said that the government's, quote, novel interpretation would criminalize a broad swath of prosaic conduct, exposing activists and lobbyists alike to decades in prison. As the Solicitor General acknowledged, the court continued, at oral argument, under the government's interpretation, a peaceful protester could conceivably be charged under 1512C2 and face a 20-year sentence. And the government mm-hmm. would likewise have no apparent obstacle to prosecuting under C2 any lobbying activity that influences an official proceeding and is undertaken corruptly. Those particular results underscore the implausibility of the government's interpretation, close quote.
And I think bottom line, that's what it was. They were looking for some law that would enable them to put these people into prison for 20 years.
Yeah, and you know, the fact is that they had other lesser offenses that they could charge these people with.
Oh, yeah.
But they didn't carry the kind of hammer that this particular 20-year sentence carried. Now, the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, came back and said, well, you know, disagrees with the opinion, but
of course
it's not going to affect very many people who were charged with J6 because very few were charged only with Sarbanes-Oxley Act. So obviously those that have only been charged with the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, those will be directly affected. However, he goes on to say in the response, the public statement to this particular decision, that there are others that were charged with Sarbanes-Oxley, but they also were charged with other offenses as well. And I think that's a problem because the fact of the matter is they had the hammer with Sarbanes-Oxley. That hammer mm-hmm. was a 20-year prison sentence. Right. So now you're indicted and they charge you with Sarbanes-Oxley, 20 years, and then they charge you with some of these other things, maybe trespassing, and you might have a few months or whatever it might be, and these other lesser offenses. And so the government then, I know how this works, the mm-hmm. government then will come to these defendants and they'll tell them, look, you will spend 20 years in prison. You want to go to trial on this? You face up to 20 years in prison. You're never going to see your family again.
So you can take a plea deal, right?
But you can take a plea deal, yeah. And we will allow the Sarbanes-Oxley charge to go to the wayside, but you just plead to the lesser offenses. Well, guess what happens? People then weigh in the balance, 20 years versus some lesser offense, even though they didn't do the lesser
right,
offense.
Right, even though they're innocent, yeah.
And they don't have the money now to go through years of litigation. So what do? They plead to the lesser offense. It's a travesty.
And you remember these people were welcomed into the Capitol. The police opened the doors and welcomed them in.
Yeah.
They didn't storm down the doors.
I think anybody who had any Sarbanes-Oxley, whether it was alone or in conjunction with any other particular area, no matter whether they've already pled, I think there ought to be exceptions to those people, and those have to be undone because those individuals had a hammer over their head. They were waiting for the guillotine to come down with a 20-year sentence, and there's no question but that this pressure, this coercion, this false charge was used to get a lesser plea deal. And that is wrong, and it undermines the entire judicial system. A great decision for the First Amendment because, frankly, if the court had gone the wrong way, as the Chief Justice wrote, peaceful protesters and even lobbyists, somebody who is going through the lobbying procedure, could be charged with obstruction if they did their lobbying in a, quote, corrupt way, whatever that might be. So great decision on the J6ers. A lot of people will be, I think, impacted by this, but certainly another huge defeat for this weaponization of the government. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.